In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Follow me, Jesus said. And Matthew got up and followed Christ to a table. The call of Jesus creates faith to heed the call. Matthew didn't call out to Jesus, but Jesus called him. Matthew didn't ask anything of Christ, nor accept Christ, but Jesus accepted him and spoke to him. Matthew asked for nothing, and yet receives a seat in the very kingdom of God. His whole world had now changed. The call of Jesus is the call to faith, and it changed everything for Matthew, a tax collector by trade, working for those hated Romans. Price gouging, lining his own pockets. The voice of Jesus pierces his heart to reveal his sin-sick soul. And Matthew rose up. He rose up to a new life, a resurrected life, a life of following Christ to his table, where he would receive mercy. Follow me. The voice of Jesus gives the faith to heed the call. And the Pharisees grumble and complain. They do not want a God who forgives the sinner. They do not want a God who eats with the sinner. They do not want a God that shows mercy. They want a God who receives their sacrifices, their gifts, their thanks, their worship, their praise. They want a God who sits back on his royal throne to receive all that they can give because they have this world under control and are working hard to improve it. Yet Jesus did not come for such righteous people. He came for the sinner. Which incidentally is he came for all people because all people are sinners. There is no one who is righteous in God's sight, not one. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. All deserve eternal death in hell. There is no one who is good. So Christ came for all. So which are you? The tax, the sinner, or the righteous? Are you the tax collector Matthew, or the good Pharisee who is working hard to improve the world around him? The pillar of society, the one who people want to emulate and be like? The call of Jesus reveals what we are, for he has called you to faith. He has called you to believe that he is the one who is sent into this world to redeem the world. He came at a time when you did not ask him to come. He accomplished a feat which you did not ask him to do. For your seat in the kingdom of God was accomplished on Calvary by his death. And that was 2,000 years before you even took your first breath. Christ is the Savior of sinners, for he hangs in the place of the sinner, he lives in the place of a sinner, he bleeds for the sinner, and he dies for the sinner, so that sinners might have a place before God at his table, receiving the mercy of God. And Christ still comes to you today for the same reason. Not to win salvation for the sinner, but to give you the forgiveness that he has won by his death and resurrection. You did not choose him, he chose you. You did not accept Christ into your heart, he accepted you. You did not make a decision for Jesus, it is his call that created faith in your heart and awakened that faith to believe his word and his promises. He has called you out of darkness and into light, from death to life, from sickness to health. It is the voice of Christ that gives you the very thing that you need, salvation and faith, so that you too might have a seat at the table of God, and here you sit. And it is still the voice of your Lord and Savior that called you here this day. You did not need him to reconvert you, but you still recognize he has come to show mercy, not to receive your sacrifices. You do not need him to awaken faith once more, but he comes to enliven and to deepen that faith once more by giving you his forgiveness. You do not come to give something to God, your thanks, your praise, your worship. That is not the primary reason why you sit in these pews, but you come to receive from God the great blessings which his cross has won, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Why? Because you know you're a sinner. And apart from that death on that cross, you have no righteousness, no life, or no standing before God. Whether you committed great sins this past week, or you really can't think of one, you come confessing the truth of God's most holy word, that what he says about you is true. You are a sinner, and Jesus, therefore, is your Savior. So you come to receive his forgiveness, his love, his peace, his joy, so that you might hope in him who alone is your Savior. You recognize that Christ desires mercy, not sacrifice. And so it is his voice that once again enkindles and enlivens faith to move your feet forward and to come. The whole week is left behind. You come before him who alone can redeem. And you follow him to a table. And as you look around, you see a bunch of other sinners. They're vastly different from you. People that you know a great deal about, and some that you probably know very little about. Some who may have taken your seat this morning. Others who may have been sitting in the same pew for years on years. We do not look down on one another. We love. We do not judge them because they do not do, think, dress, or speak the way that we do. But we love that the voice of Christ has called them here, even as it has called us, and has drawn us all together as one. Different in language, different in dress, different in experience, maybe ethnicity. Greatest difference between men and women. Different temptations we face throughout the week, different sins that burden us, different burdens that trouble and afflict our bodies, yet all united together by that call of Christ to come and sit at table with him to receive his mercy. So not looking down, but standing side by side with one another as forgiven sinners. Not judging one another, but kneeling side by side, patiently waiting for the forgiveness, life, and salvation that God so freely gives. There is no reason why we should be here when countless others drive past. There is no reason why we should have God's word in truth and purity while countless others are devoid of the sacraments or misinterpret the scriptures. It's grace and grace alone. We are here because the voice of Christ rings in your ear, follow me, and faith follows him to an altar. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. He does love your good works. Don't get that statement wrong as if the way you live is completely irrelevant. He does love your good works. He does love your songs and your praise and your thanks that you give to him this day. He loves your offerings. Tax collector Matthew cannot sit at table with Jesus and then go back to wheeling and dealing. Jesus told the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. Faith desires to live a righteous and godly life, but faith never trusts in that righteous life before God. It leaves it all at the door. Faith comes because we are sinners. Faith comes to receive mercy from Christ. And so the highest form of worship you can give to God is to receive in faith the forgiveness he desires to give. The greatest worship of God is to believe that he is the Savior of sinners and that he has saved you by his death and resurrection. He knows how sick you are, how pervasive the sinful flesh is, and how destructive your sins have been to the relationships around you and to your own self. And yet still he says, come, follow me. Sit with me at my table. Take and eat. Take and drink. Christ is the Savior of sinners. What patient goes to a doctor in need, listens to the doctor, and then leaves without taking the prescribed medication? One who doesn't trust the doctor. So what Christian believes in the death of Christ and yet refuses to receive the forgiveness of sins in word and sacrament, opting instead to want to praise God from the heart? One that doesn't fully confess and believe that Christ is the Savior. How easy it is to flip, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, to I must give something to Jesus, instead of him being the giver of mercy, forgiveness, and love. So again, the highest form of worship is to receive in faith the forgiveness of sins in word and in sacrament. God desires to be merciful to the sinner, to forgive the sinner, to eat with the sinner, to love the sinner. So are you a sinner or not? You freely confess that you are. And so you follow him to this table and eat a rich banquet of fine food and aged wine. A table where forgiveness flows to the sinner and health to the sin-sick soul, where peace fills the anxious and joy the troubled, where the sins of one's youth are forgotten and the sins of today are covered over by his blood. At his table, his face shines on you. At his table, he is gracious and merciful to you. At his table, he lifts up his countenance upon you and gives you his peace. Thus you sing with joy, Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace. Peace until next time, when we gather with Christ around his table once more. Faith willingly follows Jesus back to this altar to eat with him once more. Yes, we still believe. No, we did not fall away from faith. But we still confess that we are sinners. And Jesus is the Savior of sinners, who leads us to feast with him in his eternal kingdom, already present here at this altar. So today we observe St. Matthew, apostle and evangelist, who wrote the first book of the New Testament. And he concludes that first book with these very well-known words from our Lord. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Where is Christ present? Yes, he is everywhere. But that offers us little comfort because he is not present everywhere to bless us. He is at his table. He is still surrounded by sinners. He is still showing mercy. He is still healing man of his sin, because he is still the Savior of sinners. Come, take and eat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.